lot of things just coincidentally happened to be going on at the same time, both Leviathan starting to open its flow directly to Israel proper, and of course, Prime Minister Netanyahu's upcoming meeting in Athens on the 2nd.
Now, that's about the East Med pipeline project involving Greece and Cyprus and also Italy at some point. That's the what's being envisioned. This is something that's been in works for some time, for a few years now. So what piece exactly is getting put, will be getting put into place in the Athens meeting?
Yeah, I think that at best, we're looking at the signing of a memorandum of understanding between the parties. That's at least what's been reported up until this point. And as you mentioned correctly, we're talking about Israel, Cyprus, and Greece, with an important fourth party, Italy, not taking part in the meeting. So the memorandum of understanding has its limitations. It's symbolic. It obviously demonstrates a continued commitment by the three countries to cooperate together, but it doesn't mean that tomorrow they're going to start laying pipeline in order to export Israeli or Cypriot gas to Europe. The importance, of course, is that the context, the geopolitical context in the region, given Turkey's aggressive push to be considered as a regional partner in any kind of future energy picture, is important to remember as well. We can't forget that. So it has symbolic value. It obviously has diplomatic value as well for the heads of state to be meeting together. This will be the seventh time in the last 2.5 years that these heads of state will be gathering, but it doesn't mean that this East Med pipeline will be realized. It's just a step perhaps in the right direction.
What are the pieces that have to be put into place for that pipeline to start being laid down on the seafloor?
There are a couple of really important steps. First, they need the European Commission to approve a feasibility plan for the pipeline. And essentially, the European Commission is looking at two things. Technical feasibility. Will the pipeline run along a route on the seabed floor of the Eastern Mediterranean that is technically viable and safe? And secondly, commercial feasibility. Will the gas, by the time it reaches, let's say, Italy or some other European state, be competitive enough for the European Union or for other European states or actors, including Italy, to be interested in investing the type of money necessary to build this kind of pipeline, which would be the longest undersea pipeline in the world and would cost several billion dollars.
Now, it's certainly there's an economic interest from the countries that are involved to export the gas and for Europe as well in terms of having an alternative source for the gas versus, say, dependency on Russian gas.
Correct. The world that we're living in today, the name of the game is diversification of supply. So Europe is heavily dependent on Russian gas. It's trying to diversify that supply both through alternative sources of natural gas, but also through alternative energy as well. So countries today, and that includes every country in the world, as well as Israel, is seeking to diversify its supply and diversify the types of energy that it is using. So on the one hand, from a European perspective, adding Israeli or Eastern Mediterranean gas, say from Egypt or Cyprus, would be a net positive. It would reduce dependency on Russia. But there are other options for Europe as well, pipeline plans from the Western Mediterranean or the sub-Saharan Africa, countries like Algeria and Morocco. There are, of course, there's the option of purchasing liquefied natural gas or LNG from the United States. So Europe is in a full court press to diversify its supply, but the Eastern Mediterranean picture would not be the end-all be-all, nor is it necessarily the easiest path for Europe to take. So it's something that they're considering. It's something that they take seriously, but it's not the only option available to the European Union.
And looking from the perspective of the Eastern Mediterranean countries that are involved, Israel, Cyprus, and Greece, though, isn't the only path for the pipeline to Europe? That would be the objective of building this corridor?
Yes, certainly. If you're talking about Greece, Cyprus, and Israel as a total package, this is the pipeline that would allow all three parties to be involved at the highest level, and would produce perhaps the greatest net gains at a state level, right? We're not talking about the companies involved. We're not even talking about the respective public of these countries, but just from the perspective of the states, this is something that they want to see happen. But when you break it down into individual states, there are alternatives. Israel has an existing contract to export natural gas to Egypt, where it can be converted to LNG and then sold on the global market to any buyer. Cyprus is also in the process of exploring the option of exporting its gas to Egypt. So all of the individual parties are keeping the options on the table, but there is something, you know, dreamy about a Guinness World Record pipeline that would connect Israel physically to Europe and connect these three states together who have been trying to unify their interests and strategize together about developing a cohesive policy for the region. So it is in their interests, but they're not ruling out other forms of cooperation and cooperation in other spaces outside of energy.
And you mentioned the Turkey factor here as well. Could that be a further obstacle to this, or it's an obstacle in terms of the broader tensions in the region?
Turkey presents a serious challenge for all of the actors in the region. Most of the conversation over the last decade when it comes to the Eastern Mediterranean and gas has left Turkey on the outside looking in. And Turkey is desperate to be a part of the conversation for a number of reasons. First, because there are outstanding disputes that Turkey has with Cyprus about questions of maritime domain and who has authority in which parts of the Eastern Mediterranean. Turkey has the longstanding maritime disputes with Greece as well. But more than all of that, Turkey wants to be a part of the conversation. And so some of Turkey's actions over the last couple of months, including placing drill ships at strategic locations in the Eastern Mediterranean to do its own explorations of natural gas, and also last week's signing of a memorandum of understanding to delineate the maritime boundaries between Turkey and Libya, are all designed to essentially drive a wedge between both the East Med pipeline and, you know, turning it into reality, but also to drive a wedge between the parties, because it assumes that not all of the parties in the East Med have the same interests. Perhaps some of their interests are more economically driven, some more security driven. And I think Turkey's efforts are in part to divide the parties into pieces and to reach different arrangements or different agreements with different parties. The bottom line is that the East Med is a closed sea. Everyone's maritime spaces are somewhat overlapping over one another. So without constructive dialogue between the parties, and that in theory could be mediated by third parties like the European Union, the United Nations, the United States, without that kind of mediation, there's always going to be tension, because there's always going to be one or more parties that feel like they're not getting in on the action.